Thank you for allowing me to share God's word with you today. I believe that God has something very special for you in his word today. And I'm so honored to be able to share with you. The title of my message today is The Passageway to Presence. And really what we're all longing for in these days, whether we realize it or not, is the presence of God, a deep abiding relationship with God and his nearness in every moment. And so humanity is searching for answers everywhere. They're searching for answers, but have we sought God? Have we sought him in repentance and in faith? You know, we're finishing a series on drawing near to God, drawing closer still. And how do you get closer? Those are the questions that we've asked over the past few weeks. How do we get closer? Well, first of all, we have to find out what moves God, what's important to God, what's really on his heart, what matters to him. You know, what's upsetting to him? These are the ways in which we find out how we can get closer still. And today I want to talk about remaining in God, abiding in God. You know, it's really the message of John. In the early chapters of John's writing, he says this in John chapter 1, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus walked by. John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. And Jesus looked around and saw them following and said, "What do you want?" He asked them in such an inviting way, "What do you want?" And they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And that was a prophetic question that they had no idea. They said, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus spends the rest of the book of John showing us where he's staying. "Come and see," verse 39. Jesus said, "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. And as we know, they remained with him for the next 3 years, and they remained in the presence of God the rest of their lives as they grew closer and closer to the Lord. And so really, this is the theme of John. How do we learn to abide? How do we learn to remain, to really remain in God, to really live there? You know, in essence, hours before the cross in John 15, Jesus answers this question, and he says, in essence, "I've taught you where to live and where I live. I've taught you to live in the presence of God and to live where I live, to abide in God." So I want to read to you from John 15. Last words are lasting words, and these are some of Jesus's last words before the cross. And he says this in John 15, 1 through 11. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain," there's that word remain, abide, live in. Where are you staying? Where are you living? "Remain in me," Jesus is saying. "Let me show you where I live. I live in God," and he invites us to live in him. "Remain in me," verse 4 says, "and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. This brings great joy to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." And so here's the challenge of Jesus. Let me show you where I live. I remain in the Father's love. I remain in God. And now let me challenge you to remain in me, Jesus is saying. And he's saying, "I've taught you to live where I live, guys." Here in the last few hours before the cross, "I've taught you." in the very first chapter of John, you are invited to come and see where I live. And now in John 15, I've taught you where I live. Now remain there, abide in me as I abide in God. And the Greek word there in John 15, 7 is meno, for abide. And meno means to stay, to remain, to live in, to continue or permanently abide in one place. And so really in this season that in which we live, we need patience. And the Greek word for patience is hupomeno. And hupo means to be under something very heavy. And meno, of course, means to abide. And so patience is to live under something very heavy, to live under something very weighty, but to live there in confidence and faith that things are going to change. Confidence and faith that God has good things, waiting on the promise of the Father, waiting on God's intervention, just patiently enduring under that heavy load, living there until God moves. And we need patience in this time just to endure and to know that God is for us. And the best place to be is abiding in God. And so I've really felt this challenge from the Lord to invite everyone to 40 days of drawing closer to me than they've ever been. And I pray you've been doing that, just drawing closer to God. And now in this last week of this series, just to encourage you to live your life there, to abide in God, to really live in God. He wants you there. And so I have three R's for us to remember this week. The first is remain. We need to remain in God. We need to abide. We need to draw close, to remain and live in His presence. The second R is to rest. You know, last week we looked at the teachings of Jesus where he made it clear that, you know, by worry, you can't add one cubit. That's the distance from just your forearm, the length of your forearm. That's a cubit. And Jesus said, you can't add one cubit to your life, the span of your life, by worrying. And Jesus wants us to get rid of worry. And so He wants us to learn to rest. And we need to rest in this truth. It's not a question if victory will come, but when victory will come. Victory is on the way. Victory is assured. Victory was sealed by the resurrection of the Son of God. And so victory will come. And so the Lord wants to teach us to rest. I want to read to you some of the Lord's teaching in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. It says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I love that. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. God wants you to experience His rest in this season. During this season, it's almost as though He's hit the pause button and He's invited us all to come and refuel, to be filled with oil, to have our lamps filled with oil, to draw nearer and nearer to God. And to pause, come away with me and rest. The Greek word here is anapoeo. And it means to pause, to cease, to desist, to refrain, to take a breather, to have a break, a lull, an interruption, or take time to get away from something, a pause. And so God has hit the pause button. He wants us all to come away and rest and draw nearer to Him than we've ever been. It's a time for supernatural refreshing. God is inviting us near to Him in this time of global pause for supernatural refreshing, to be refreshed, to be encouraged. You know, He says His yoke is easy. And the word for easy there is krestos. It means pleasurable, delightful, or comfortable. Pleasurable. His yoke, what the Lord is calling you, work with Him, is almost as though it's the work that you're invited into with the Lord is pleasurable, delightful, comfortable. It's a delight to work with the Lord. Such a delight to work with the Lord. So if your service to God has felt suffocating or so weighty and unpleasurable, then you've missed it, because Jesus invites us into a pleasurable work with Him, seasoned with rest. It is hard work. It's a work that is challenging, but it's also a work with pauses at different intervals. It's a work that's pleasurable. It's a work of joy as we labor with the Lord. And so, again, the Lord tells us to remain. He asks us to come away and rest. And lastly, the third R this morning that I want to share with you is rejoice. The Lord calls us to rejoice. The Hebrew word for rejoice is sus. It means to rejoice, to be glad, to be greatly happy. A joy that's the complete antithesis of mourning. It's a pervasive, irresistible joy. That's what the Bible Dictionary says. It's this incredible joy that God wants us to have. And so the Lord invites us to rejoice. And so today, the passageway to His presence, the passageway to a deeper walk with God, to a deeper level of abiding and rest, the passageway is rejoicing. In Psalm 40, verse 16, it says, "But may all who search for you, God, but may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you." And that's what this month has been about. I've invited you to search for God, to draw closer to God than you've ever been. And maybe you haven't done that, but I challenge you, take this next month and draw closer to God than you've ever been. And Psalm 40:16 says, "But may all who search for you," those who are seeking to draw nearer, "be filled with joy and gladness in you. May all who love your salvation repeatedly shout, 'The Lord is great.'" And as you search for God, as you draw near to God, you'll find joy welling up in you. You'll find a greater level of joy than ever before as you search for God, as you draw near, as you learn to abide and live in Him. Psalm 45:7 says this, "But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you." Isn't that amazing? Psalm 45, verse 7, "You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else." And here's the psalmist speaking of God, the Messiah, Jesus, being anointed with joy by His God, His Father, more than all His brethren. Do you realize that joy of Jesus, that joy has been, Jesus has been anointed with joy more than anyone else? If your picture of Jesus is one who's angry and impossible to please, and a killjoy, as some have said, this idea of a cosmic killjoy, that's not Jesus at all. Jesus is filled with joy above all of His brethren, and I pray that your discipleship, your relationship, as you're learning to abide and rest in Jesus, that you're coming to see Him as one who offers a happy rest, a joyful rest, whose work is a delight when you work with Him, and that also He is anointed with incredible joy. He is a God of incredible joy, and Jesus invites you into His joy today. He wants you rejoicing. Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4 says this, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live." I love that. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live." Jesus, show us where you live. Jesus, show us where you're staying. Show us where you live, God. "And there I will go to the altar of God, to God," David says, "the source of all my joy." And I pray that you know God is the source of all your joy. God is the source of all joy. "The source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. I will praise you, David said, with my harp, O God, my God. And so again, this image of God is the God of joy, the source of joy. You know, happiness is in the realm of the soul, mind, will, and emotions. Joy is in the realm of the spirit. And so we need the joy of the Lord. It's spiritual. It goes deep within us. It transforms our lives. And if you need more joy, draw closer to God. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And so I pray that you know God is the God of joy today. I pray that you're experiencing His joy, because we can experience God's joy right now in the midst of these times that we live that are heavy, that require patience, that we can experience His joy right in the midst of these times. You know, Zephaniah 3:17 says this of God, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness." Is that your theology? Is that the way you think of God? He will take delight in you with gladness because of what Jesus has done on the cross. He's made us clean. He's made us pure because of what Jesus has done on the cross. We've accepted Him. If you've accepted Him into your heart and into your life, you're clean. You're completely clean through the gift of Jesus. And so God says, For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. Claim that promise. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That's who God is. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. God is the God who rejoices. And He invites us to rejoice. Have you been made clean by the gift of Jesus on the cross? I invite you to pray with me now, if you haven't done that, to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. And let's just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come into my life. I invite you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be the leader of my life. Draw me closer to you. I pray that you'd lead me on and fill me with your precious Spirit. I want to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, you've been born again. You're clean. You're holy. Because of what Jesus has done, and He wants to lead you into deeper holiness, a deeper walk of holiness with Him. He wants to lead you forward, and He wants to introduce you to His Father, who sings over you with gladness and with rejoicing and with joy, because God is a God of joy. You know, the fastest way into God's presence is praise. The fastest way into God's manifest presence is rejoicing and worship and thanksgiving. You know, we know that God's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He's beyond space and time, and he is so far beyond. He is present to everything, omnipresent, but his manifest presence comes. The kind of presence that we read about in the life of Jesus in the Acts of the Apostles, that manifest presence of Jesus, the fastest way into that manifest presence of God is rejoicing. In Psalm 100, the whole psalm, I invite you to read it, is an invitation into God's presence. But Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, go into His courts with praise." The quickest way, the fastest way, the passageway into the presence of God, the weighty manifest presence, the tangible felt presence of God, is thanksgiving and worship and praise. If you haven't experienced that, I invite you to get in a place of worship and praise and thanksgiving with God, just to spend time with Him, thanking Him and praising Him, and you will experience His presence. And the fastest way is enter His gates with thanksgiving, go into His courts with praise. And this is an observation I've made in my own life, and look around yourself, but it seems to me that those who praise the most and those who are continually thankful are the most joyful people that I know. Those who are constantly praising God, those who are constantly giving thanks, are the most joyful people that I know. I couldn't help but think of three people that I know this week. I won't mention their names, but they're constantly praising. They're constantly thanking God. And it seems to me that they're the most joyful people in the world that I've met. And so we want to learn to abide, to live in God. We want to learn to remain. We want to learn to rest, and we want to learn to rejoice. And so Psalm 22:3 says this, Yet you are holy, God, enthroned on the praises of Israel. King James says, God inhabits the praises of his people. God lives in the praises of his people. God abides in the praises of his people. He's enthroned in the praises of his people. And so if you want to live in God, you want to remain in God, and you want to rest in God, you want to rejoice in God, then we need to learn to praise. We need to learn to worship, to thank him, to adore him. And he'll be enthroned. He'll live there in our praise. That's an invitation for us to learn to praise. And as we learn to praise and we learn to thank God, we'll grow in joy. You know, Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. That's a challenge for each of us. Let's do that. Let's try that today. Let's try that this week. The psalmist said, I will praise the Lord at all times. I'll constantly speak his praises. I'll constantly speak his praises. Are you constantly speaking his praise? Psalm 34, verse 1 again. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praise. And so here's the challenge for this week. Praise God out loud every hour. Try it today. Praise God every hour this week. Maybe you want to set your watch to remind you, or your phone to remind you each hour, just every waking hour, just to praise God, just to audibly, just to thank him for something, praise him for something, or inwardly to reverence him and adore him and just remember how sweet and how good and how awesome he really is. So here's the challenge for today, for this week, and I pray it turns into a lifetime of thanksgiving and praise. But praise him out loud every hour today and every waking hour this week. Just to continually let the praise of God be on your lips. And I'd love for you to tell me how it went, what that equated with in your life, how it changed your week, how it changed your day. I know it will. A.W. Tozer, he said this, it's always pleasant and delightful to set forth the praises of someone you really love. Those who truly love Jesus Christ find it one of the greatest pleasures in life to be able simply to describe how we discovered his great love for us and how we are trying to return that love and devotion as we serve him in faith each day. Amen. Let's be a people of praise, a people of worship. The passageway into his presence is praise. Learning to abide in him is rooted in thanksgiving and worship. And so, to cap off this 4 weeks of drawing nearer to God than we've ever been, I pray that you continue to go in that discipline, continue to get closer to him than you've ever been. But to cap off this series, this 30-day invitation to draw near to Jesus, I'd just like to challenge you with these 3 R's. Remain in him. Learn to live there. That's what the book of John is all about, learning to live in the presence of God, learning to live and abide in God. Rejoice and rest. You know, these are the things that God has called us to remain, to rest in him. Come to him if you're weary and heavy laden, burdened down by the world, and he'll give you rest. And his yoke is easy. It's delightful. It's pleasurable. You know, it's light. And lastly, rejoice. Become a person of rejoicing, and you'll constantly live in the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you for this day. God, we want to grow deeper in rejoicing. We want to learn to experience your rest, and we want to abide and remain in you. God, move in power in our lives. Let us spread this message of love everywhere we go, the message of Jesus. Lord, we want to grow as disciples, and we want to grow as priests for your kingdom. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bless each one watching and encourage them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.